Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's
Heavenly
message.
Father, I just thank you, dear God, for another day, dear God, the opportunity to share your word, oh God. I pray, dear God, that we would adhere to what you are saying, oh God, that we would listen to your spirit, dear God, that your spirit would speak through me. Dear God, you know where all of us are, the different things that we are in need of. And I thank you, dear God, that you are the one who answers all things. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen, and amen. Now, last week, we had a worship outbreak, so we did not, I did not preach the word, and that was being led by the Spirit of God, amen. And this week, I did have a sermon for last week, and it was funny because Michael said a few things from that, last week, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. So it's not crazy. I know it's confirmation from the Spirit of God, but I want to go ahead and hop into that. Now, the week before, we talked about Deborah leading the Israelites out to war, right? The man that was in control of the army was like, I want to go out and fight, but I will not go unless Deborah comes with me. That's what he said. And Deborah was like, well, this is not something that normally happens, but you will not receive the honor from this. I will. And then actually another lady came and killed the enemy that they were chasing. So one of the things I talked about that time is at times God leads you. Sometimes he will lead you to do what is uncommon. Right. That doesn't mean every strange thing is from God. We got to make a distinction, because some people think, oh, it's strange. Nobody has done it before. This must be God. No, you have to check what you're doing to make sure it adheres to the word of God. Amen. It's very important to be led by God. Let's go ahead and open up the word of God today. We're going to start in Esther chapter 4. And then I'm going to read Psalms chapter 37, 1 through 5. But let's go to Esther chapter 4 first. All right. And it says this. This is talking about, first of all, let me just give a little information on this. This is talking about Esther has now become the queen of this area, right? And as she has become the queen, some things are starting to happen. And she thought her position, check this out, she thought her position would keep her safe. How many of us run to, different titles to keep us safe? It's kind of interesting. Sometimes we run to a certain position and think that is what's going to keep us safe. But there are times where your position won't even keep you safe. And Esther was the queen. That means she was second in charge at this place. But because what was coming forth and the way that the Medes and the Persians had their laws is, man, once they set them in stone, they were set in stone. There was really nothing you could do to change it. If the king had put his signet ring on it, it didn't matter if he was fooled into doing it or not. They had to go along with what he said. Right? So we're going to go ahead and open this up. And Mordecai is Esther's uncle. It says, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. All right. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. So very simple. We see that Haman, it's kind of interesting because if you actually trace back where Haman came from, he was actually an enemy that the Israelites were told to totally annihilate, but they didn't. You guys catch that? There's a lot of times where God tells them to do certain things, and for some sort of reason, they're like, I don't know if we have to do that, right? So what began to happen was he rose up, and obviously he was upset because he had some kind of beef with the Israelites, right? But check this out. Now he's in charge, and he is paying money to destroy the Jews. All right. So we see that's where we are at now. And Mordecai sends to Esther the information so that she can plead on the Jews' behalf. Verse 10 says, then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any or all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, I like what he says. He speaks faith. He says relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. That's faith right there. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And that's where we get that thing. For such a time as this, you are here, right? But Mordecai deals with where she is and says, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you are in charge of everything. This law is in place. Now you're going to, either you're going to die one way or the other. Now go plead on the behalf of your people. Then we see this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. All right. Now, I want to say this. When we're talking about being led by God, there was a certain thing that she had to do. Now, guess what? When you're led by God, there's going to be times where it's going to be difficult. You guys catch that? There's going to be difficulty at times in following what God tells you to do. But instead of trying to do it in Esther's own strength, what did she do? Anybody know what she did? She fasted and prayed. So sometimes there's going to be times in your life where you're trying to figure out, God, I really want to be led by you, but I can't clearly hear you. I'm not really seeing. And if the place that I'm thinking I should go is not clear, you need to begin to fast and pray. Because that brings clarity to you. A lot of times what happens is you have so much things bombarding your heart, your mind, and your spirit. But when you begin to fast and pray, what begins to happen is just like you, when you're fasting, your body begins to clear itself of anything that's not healthy in your body. Right? It does the same thing to your spirit. When you are fasting and you're saying, God, I need to hear from you. I don't know about you. I've been in places in my life where I needed to fast. Where it's like, man, I'm reading the Bible, and every time I read the Bible, it's like, man, my mind is everywhere. Lord, help me keep my mind stayed on you. He says, if I keep my mind on you, I will stay in perfect peace, right? That's what the Word of God says. But if your mind is bombarded with so many different things, sometimes you need to fast. Amen? And you don't need to wait. See, check this out. There's going to be times in your life, if you want to follow God, that you cannot wait for the church to say, we're going on a fast. Right? You're going to have to do it on your own. Right? And now Esther asked the other people, the Jews, to fast and pray with her, because now if you got more and more people getting on one accord in this, within the Spirit of God, God is getting ready to move. Right? And Mordecai has said, even if you don't do it, God is going to rise up somebody else, because God has always upheld the people of God when they were doing the right thing. Amen. But fasting and praying is important. Let's keep on going. I'm going to actually read chapter 5. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor. Now, it's kind of interesting. Monica was saying, God has been blessing me with favor. We prayed for her parents to get jobs, and this week they got jobs. That's called favor. Amen. My wife stopped working last week. This week I had to bring in all the money, and I was able to sell some beets. Somebody say favor. Yeah, because that doesn't always happen like that. But what we see here is because you are in the right place with God, that people around you will endow you with favor. Amen. So she fasted and prayed, went into the king's court, and since she was found with favor from the king, he allowed her to come in. Amen? It says that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." Now this is just her coming is just not favor, but what he says is called favor. Hey, whatever you want, let me know. Right? She must have been looking good that day. Right? For the king to say, whatever you want, up to half my kingdom, I will give it to you. But then she has a plan. This is important. See, some people would have been like, man, let me just tell them right out. This is what's going on. We need to remember the law of the Medes and Persians can't be revoked like that. So she had to go in with a plan. But guess what? She had to get that plan from God while she was fasting and praying. See, some of us, we want to go do something. We know that God has called us to do something. And instead of getting a plan, we just go. Just go. And guess what? The Bible talks about this like this. Any man that goes to war without counting up the cost is a fool. Right? Any person that thinks that, oh, man, I'm going to go do this. And if you don't plan it out, what begins to happen is because the Bible says without a plan, you will fail. Right? You must come up with a plan. And it shouldn't just be a plan that you scheme. That's why it's important to pray. That's why it's important to clear yourself of you. Look at your neighbor and say, clear yourself of you. It's important. Right? Because I'm going to tell you, you have many plans, but the Bible says the plans of the Lord are the ones that succeed. right? You, how many of us have had plans to do a lot of different things than where we are right now, right? Oh, I thought I was going to do this. I had a plan. I started doing music full time in 2009. I thought it was going to be golden, right? And I prayed, I fasted, but God had to teach me some things. And a lot of times your plans that you have, the things that you think are supposed to go a certain way, sometimes they will fail so you realize that you actually do need God. Right? One of my favorite football players, Deion Sanders, after he won a Super Bowl, which you would think is the biggest and greatest thing for a football player to get to. You win a Super Bowl. That's what you waited your whole life for. After he did that, he wanted to kill himself because he was like, that's it? And he even tried to kill himself. Drove his car off the cliff, didn't die. And he was like, man, I'm even a failure at trying to kill myself. Right? But how many of you know, after he was in that place, God began to speak to him? Right? Why? Because he was in a place where he felt like he was a failure. He felt like there was nothing else. But that's when God usually grabs a hold of us and tells us that we are special, that he has a plan. And his word says his plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. That will not be cut off. But many times we continue to walk in our plans, but we need to be still. Pray. Fast. When it gets really hectic, that's when you need to be still. Because I'll tell you this, when things are going haywire, it's easy to react. Right? Especially when you're going through something because you already got it bottled up inside of you. You're just waiting for somebody to explode on. You're just like you remember the bottles when you shake the bottles or to shake the soda. Yeah, you open that thing up, it's gonna explode. That's what happens when you're going through things. You're going through turmoil. You're ready to explode. But if you give it to God, he can bring that peace back. Amen? So you speak to your situation. You declare it. Like Mordecai said, God is going to do something. I had to do that this week. I was like, God, I got it mapped out. I got to make this amount for 2 months so everything just is smooth sailing. And I even told my wife, I said, babe, if I'm doing better by the end of these months, you're going to take an extra month off, right? And I'm going to keep making this thing happen, right? But then I said, God, not in my strength, but in your strength. But guess what? I didn't just stop there and just sit back on the couch and think that God is going to do some things. Because some of us, we pray, we fast, but our faith has no action. Right? Anybody know things that happen like that? God, I need you to move in my life, God. I need you to open the door. Sometimes part of that door opening is filling out an application. So it's the simple things sometimes. It's putting yourself in position to be ready for what God has for you. You can hear God's word, but if you don't act upon God's word, it will bring you no fruit. And we know what Jesus did with the tree that bore no fruit. He cursed it. And it died. Right? Now, we don't like hearing those type of things. But our thing in our heart should be, God, help us to bear fruit. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, help me to bear fruit that honors you. Amen? It's important. All right, so here's the plan. She says, So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. All right? Then the king said, bring Haman quickly that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I prepared for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. All right. So now, not only is she has a plan, the king is anxious, is what is the word? Anxious to find out what it is. Right? You ever been around somebody that's just so anxious? What are they doing? I can't wait to see what God is doing in them. Right? Why? Because I know that God favors them. Remember, the king favored Esther because he sees her with favor. Right? The world will see you with favor. Now, this is not an Uber story. This is a job story. Back in the day, my last job that I worked, I actually left it in 2009 on good terms. I definitely believe in leaving on jobs on good terms just in case you have to go back. But I'll say this. After I left that job, I burned the work clothes because I was not going back. All right? I burned them. I burned them in my mom's incinerator at the house. I was like, I'm not going back. I'm done. Right? But check this out. While I worked that job, I did what everybody else did. But I would get phone calls from the employee. I was the employee, but the customers that they had, that, man, he does a great job. I mean, every time he comes in, he's smiling. Man, I just wanted to call and let you guys know that he is a great worker, right? Now, I get into the office, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You know, nobody else gets any phone calls like that, and I didn't do anything extra, right? But people just saw me with favor. Now, there were some people that were not believers in the place, and they didn't like that, right? And one day, it was snowing. Somebody say snowing. It was snowing. And I live on a hill in Renton. Not just any hill. I live on one of the top hills in Renton. So I called in and said, hey, man, I can't make it in today. The snow is bad up here. My supervisor, who didn't really like, for some reason, he had some problem with me. He was like, what you mean you can't come? You got to come down here. You got to. And I said, sir, I'm sorry. I can't. Like, I can't drive my car in the snow like that. I'm not risking my life to go to work. When the snow clears, I will come to work. And he was like, you got to come to work on Saturday. And I said, Saturday is not in my availability. Like, you guys had me fill that form out. Remember, Saturday is not in my availability, but I'll be there on Monday if it's clear. And he was like, we're going to fire you. And I was like, man, if that's what's going to happen, there's nothing I could do because I cannot come to work. Right? So he's livid on the phone, man, and I'm just chilling. I'm just like, why is he tripping? Like, I can't get out. You know, like, so the actual CEO came. He called me and he said, where do you live? I'm going to pick you up. And he had one of those vehicles with the snow-studded tires so he can go anywhere, right? So he comes and picks me up, and he's like, man, yeah, you cannot. I could tell that you weren't able to get to work. So he starts asking. This is when the other man was going to fire me. He starts asking people around the job, how do you see Marquise? How is he? Oh, he's a great worker. Everybody else in the building, he's great. He's always doing his job. He always has a smile, right? They're seeing me with favor. So catch this. He picks me up. He's like, what's going on? Why is the supervisor not like you? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't did anything to make him not like me. You know, but he just doesn't like me. And I was telling him a few things that were happening. I was like, they tried to switch their hours. And once again, that's availability. I told him I got to be here because at that time, me and my wife were watching Ariel, and I had to drop her off at school before I went into work, and I did not want to drop Ariel off early, too early, because, you know, I just wanted her to just go to school, right? So what began to happen is I told him that, and he was like, that's interesting. We let him come in later because he takes his kids to school, right? So he's like, don't worry about that. Don't worry. And don't worry about your job. You're good, man. Matter of fact, you come in whenever you need to come in. This is what the CEO told me. Right. When am I getting here? This is called favor. Right. Because I walked righteously in the job. Amen. And when you do the right thing, God will honor you. That's what we're seeing here. Verse 9. Let's get back into it. So Haman went out that day joyful and with the glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of the children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides Queen Esther invited no one but me to come with the king to the banquet, and she prepared that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And this thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. Amen. All right. Check this out. We're talking about favor. We're talking about God shifting things. As we continue to read this story of Esther, and it's actually, I just watched the old version of Esther, not the one night with the king, but like the 1950s version of it, you know, and you start to see some of these things. Sometimes it's cool to see, and let me say this, every one of those movies are not 100% biblical, right? Don't go watching it like it's the Bible, you know the Bible, so when you watch it, you can be like, oh, that was a little bit different, right? That's important. Anyway, but look what God is doing. God is starting to stir some things. First of all, he got Haman on one, right? The enemy, he's on, he's thinking he's the man, but he's upset because he still sees Mordecai. All the things that he was bragging about, it really didn't do him any good because Mordecai was still alive. And he hated the Jews. It says that night, the king could not sleep in chapter 6. So one was commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Asherah. Then the king said, what honor of dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. All right. So look, what's beginning to happen is God is even just digging stuff up to elevate. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation, even like I said, in that situation, the CEO was trying to dig and find out how is he really? Right. How can we make sure Marquise is taken care of? And that was a cool job. Besides dealing with my supervisor, it was a pretty good job. They took care of you on Christmas. You got like a big old turkey and all kind of stuff. Like they went extra to make sure that you enjoyed it. You might have had to work a little extra, but they still made sure you were taken care of. But we see the king is looking by because God has shaken him. And he finds out that Mordecai, the very person that Haman has an issue with, saved the king's life. And then they say, the king is like, what? Why? What happened to him? Did we give this man anything? And they say, no. So guess what? Something's going to happen. Somebody say, something's going to happen. Favor's going to happen. Come on, say it loud. All right. It says, so the king said in verse 4, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer courts of the king's palace to suggest, listen, right on time. Somebody say right on time. Listen, God may not come when you want him, And we hear this in church all the time. But he will come right on time because Mordecai is coming with a message that, hey, king, I'm looking to hang Mordecai. It says in verse 4, so the king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had just prepared. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in and the king asked him, what? Somebody say what? All right. Now check this out. I've read the story before, so I kind of know what's going to happen. But it says, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now, Haman, proud at this point, right? Like, I'm the man. Like, I was the only one that went to the dinner with Esther and the king. He's only talking about me. What shall be done for the person that the king delights in, right? So, now Haman thought in his heart, it says, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman answered the king, for that man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn. All right, so this is some things that he wants. All right, let's be clear. The royal robe which the king has worn. Then it says, and a horse on which the king has ridden, probably that, you know, the stallion, the one that everybody was like, yo, that horse is fresh, right? And written, which has a royal crest placed on his head. Then let this robe and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him. Somebody say parade. Come on, man. This guy is going in, right? This is what he wants. Then parade him on a horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said, Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai, the Jew, right, who sits within the king's gates. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. Right. So now it's funny because he thought he was going to be the man on the horse getting paraded. But since God shook something up in the king, they had to do this. And he was the one that just had to come in at the right opportunity because he was on a mission to destroy Mordecai. But how many of you know, even when your enemies come to destroy you, if you are found with favor with God, God turns it around. Amen. God turns it around in your favor. So I mean, like, listen, check this out. If God did not awaken the king at this very moment, Mordecai could have been hanging, right? But they've been praying and fasting, not in their own strength. They're saying, God, we need you to be a deliverer. You see that? They're praying and fasting and saying, God, we need you to be a deliverer. Yeah, we're going to pray and we're going to even send Esther, but God, we still need you to be a deliverer. So Haman, verse 10, let me read it again. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested and do so for Mordecai the Jew. And I'm pretty sure it kind of echoed when he said it. Mordecai the Jew, you know, because this is the person that he wanted to destroy, who sits within the king's gate and leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed him before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterwards, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to the house, mourning and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Now, guess what's happening here is the tables have shifted. And now even Haman's wise men are telling him, oh, shoot, if he's one of the people you're trying to go annihilate, it's not going to work. Right? It says, while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuch came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet, which Esther had prepared. We're going to read this last chapter, but as I was getting ready for church today, I was watching the movie God's Not Dead, and there was a scene in this movie where, has everybody seen that already? Everybody seen the movie? All right. Right before the case was really getting going, the lawyer who was defending the parents who were saying they did not want their child to hear or even talk about Jesus in their classroom, right? The lawyer talks to the young lawyer who was just getting started, and he says, man, you don't have a chance, right? He's getting his shoes shined, and he's looking clean. Listen, man, I saw your record. You're better than this. Why even go along with this? You're going to be humiliated, right? And then I told my kids, I said, it's funny what the enemy does when they know they're in for a battle. They try to get your mind to think that you're not capable of doing things. That's the way the enemy works. Because the enemy cannot defeat you if you are in right standing with God. Right? But he can bring accusations against you. You guys hear me on that? Accusations can be made against you. Somebody say, how does that work? Well, if you look at the story of Job, accusations came against Job from the devil. And God was like, no, I see him with favor. Despite all that he went through, right, God still saw him with favor. And in the midst of that, Job realized that he still needed God more than anything. Let's keep on going. Chapter 7. And I'm probably going to end after I read this. It says, so the king of Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. All right. So once again, the king is anxious to see what it is. And now she's saying, save me, king. Save my life. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So King Asa answered and said to the queen Esther, who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, now listen, we gotta catch this. First of all, Haman is down, but not out, not yet. He came to this, oh man, at least I'm going to come to this dinner. And, you know, I'm the only one that came with the king. So he's seeing this go on, and he's kind of at a loss for words at this point, because he's like, what is she talking about? Right? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Look how the tables have turned in a few days, because they prayed. Somebody spoke it into existence. God is going to deliver us. They prayed, they fasted, and what did God do? Send a deliverer. Then the king arose in his wrath, right, from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will you also assault the queen while I am in the house? As the words left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai. Look, the whole story is coming out now. Who spoke good on the king's behalf is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. All right. Now, as you continue to read this, I'm not going to read the next chapter, but you can see how God sent the Jews deliverance. He actually allowed them to fight against their enemies, which was a powerful thing. But go ahead, and I want you guys to go read Esther chapter 8. But we're talking about God allowing God to lead us. There's a couple things that happened that could have happened that could have allowed them not to follow God. But instead of allowing fear to hold them back, they were obedient. And sometimes we see needs that go on in the life of others, and God has placed you in a place where you can help them, but if you don't move, you're not being led by God. Now, let me say this. Every person that asks you for something, that's not what I'm saying. There's going to be a lot of people who has anybody had that happen? A lot of people that ask for certain things, it's not your job to give to everybody. That's why you got to be led by God. You got to know who to give things to. I remember one time, a man was, I was in Tacoma on my job, and it was lunchtime. I was going to go get something to eat, and he was like, "Hey, I want some food. Can you give me some money to get some food?" And I was like, "Hey, I'm going to get a pizza, man. I can give you one." You know, that was impressed on my heart. And he was like, "Yeah, man, I'm really hungry." And I gave him the food, and he was grateful, right? I mean, how many of you have tried to give some people something sometimes, and they're not even grateful? They're like, "Man, I didn't want that." I'm like, "Man, if you're hungry, do you discriminate when you're hungry? Listen, if you are in the desert and you want something to drink, preferably water, right? And I bring you some bottled water that is not the brand that you want, you think there will be a problem? No, because you're desperate. But in desperation, God will lead you if you listen to him. If you sit still and say, "God, I don't know what to do, but I need you to lead me, and do not allow fear to keep me from following what you have planned for me." And that's what Esther did. And we have this in the Word of God so it can encourage us in our moments of desperation to get into God's presence and find out where God wants us to go and walk in it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. I thank you, dear God, for the obedience of Esther and Mordecai and even everybody that fasted and prayed in this passage, oh God. I pray to God that it would teach us to be in the right place with you, that it would teach us to be led by you, oh God, that it would teach us to hear you and move according to what your spirit is saying. Dear God, I pray to God that you would allow us as we leave this place, but never your presence, to cover us, oh God, and allow us to do all that you commanded us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.